from the book The Open Door of Emptiness by James Lowe. Chapter 3. Part 3. Seeing how lost we are. In the practice of Dzogchen, we want to look into who am I? The foundation point of these teachings in this world is a teacher called Garab Dorje, who made three simple propositions. The first states that we can meet our actuality. We can be what we already are, which is our presence. This is not about being something in particular, but simply being what we are, prior to any constructions about who or what we are. We live in our flow of experiences, thoughts, memories, structures, and so on, out of which we are continuously constructing a sense of our identity. We are always becoming someone new, and yet we imagine that we are always just ourselves. So who is the one who is becoming? All the things that we become exist just for a moment, and then pass, and then pass, and then pass all day long, all night long, day after day. And yet, there is a continuity of ourselves. There are different strands to this continuity. One is through our memory. For example, somebody might say, "How was it for you when you were 10? You start to tell them your story. "It was a really bad year. My dad was sick." Or, "I remember I got my first bicycle. I was zooming around." We all have some story to tell. And in this way, we join the moments of our life together to create patterns. Usually, through a very selective attention, sometimes a self-aggrandizing selective attention, and sometimes a self-deprecating one. Some people like to tell stories that shrink them and put themselves down. This may seem strange, yet it is a method of generating a reasonably stable sense of self, for it offers me a definition of who I am. However, in the approach of Dzogchen, we leave our thoughts, our feelings, our sensations to do what they do, not interfering with them, nor appropriating them to create a narrative of myself, not pushing away the ones we don't like, not trying to hang on to the ones that we do like, but just relaxing and letting the movement of our experience move, staying at peace, at rest, as the one who isn't moving. What is this presence? This is the basic facticity of openness, the spacious awareness, which is inseparable from what is occurring. It is not the same as what is occurring. They're not two different things. Neither are they the same thing. In fact, there are no things at all. Only luminous space and the ceaseless play of illusory experience. The traditional metaphor used to illustrate this is that of the mirror and its reflections. The reflection is in the mirror. It's not somewhere apart from the mirror. You can't take the reflection out of the mirror, but you also can't say that the reflection is the mirror. You won't find a mirror that doesn't have a reflection in it. Yet, because the mirror can show many, many different reflections, each particular reflection is clearly not the mirror itself. The specific reflections do not define the mirror, though the quality of the mirror is to show reflections endlessly. Similarly, when we look at our lives, we probably have some memories that make us happy and some memories that make us feel sad or shameful or regretful. They seem to have a concentrated or distilled quality to them. They could even seem to sum us up. Oh my God, I hate myself for that. I wish I'd never done it. The event itself, good or bad, is gone. Yet its impact can still register forcefully in the present moment. The event has been incorporated into our ongoing sense of self, expressed through our self-narrative. On the basis of this self-construct, our open potential is functionally reduced to a very limited repertoire of behaviours. For example, if I feel that I did some very bad things, I might feel I have to spend the rest of my life in reparation. Or, if I feel people have hurt me, I now believe I have to be careful all the time. These are patterns of experience generating the patterns of our individual sense of self. Yet, do they really define who we are? Perhaps inside our head, but outside, they don't. Yet we often live within our beliefs and resist attending to the facts that might undermine these beliefs. For example, in my work as a psychotherapist, I often have the following strange and rather sad experience. When I meet people for the first time, hello, anything is possible. Yet within half an hour, they have convinced me that almost nothing is possible. They have shown very clearly, this is who I am. This is what I do. And this is what I don't do. So now, the work has to commence in a very restricted space, generated by the person's belief that this is who I am. It's not true, but it feels to be true. The person is being internally defined by a belief system. And this determines their interactions with others. When we start to practice meditation, we get a chance to see the emergence of our own familiar building blocks. We can experience how we, our open potential, slides into them, how it seems so obvious that this is who I am. When we merge with a thought, when we believe it to be true, we board it as if it were a train, and it takes us on a little journey. Then that journey ends, and here's another train with our seat reserved. One of the useful, yet alarming, aspects of meditation is that we start to see how lost we are. That day by day, moment by moment, we are merged into identification with transient phenomena. The sun shines in the window and we think, hey, it's a lovely day. Last week, when it was raining and the sky was grey, we felt, oh, it's awful. It's been like this for a long time. When the weather can make us expand or contract, where is our freedom? We actually do feel better when the sun is shining, and worse on a grey day. This is not something added to us or something which influences us. This is us in the moment. There is no self-substance to which anything could be added to or subtracted from. Our mind itself is open and spacious, and what appears both is and is not us. There is no castle we can wall ourselves inside in order to protect ourselves from experience. The mirror has the reflection right inside it, right inside. The sun shines and we're happy. This doesn't mean we're stupid or mere puppets. It means we don't have border guards. We are not a separate country. There is no immigration department stopping the sunshine and saying, "Ah, have you a visa? How long are you going to stay?" The sun comes in our eyes and the heart goes, "Ooh." It's free, immediate, just like that. Or you hear your phone ring. You pick it up and somebody starts to tell you a sad story and you feel terrible. "Oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry." A sad story, which you have no defense against. It's just there, immediately. The immediacy of our open being. The empty nature of the mind is like the empty nature of the mirror, in offering an instant response to whatever is occurring. This has major implications for the practice of meditation, for, rather than try to develop a particular content to our experience, we allow whatever is occurring to occur. When an ugly object is placed in front of the mirror will show the reflection of the ugly object. And then, if the ugly object is taken away and something very beautiful is placed in front of the mirror, it will show that. The mirror is not marked or harmed by the quality of the reflection. Similarly, in Dzogchen practice, we relax and release our identification with the structures of our personality, our memories, our hopes, our fears, our intentions. Releasing the identification, we see that the mind itself has no shape and so is intrinsically safe. Our thoughts, memories, and so on have particular shapes and therefore can be impacted by another shape. This is why the aspects of our personality, our identity, are intrinsically vulnerable. How I am as a person is truly going to be upset if somebody tells me bad news, because I'm not made of stone. We're not aiming for some kind of technical neutrality where everything is just the same, known and predictable. That would be a kind of madness, for although you might attain a sense of calm, you'd be a pretty poor kind of human being, for compassion means that we're touched and moved. We laugh when other people are happy, and we're sad when other people are sad. Our body moves to help someone if we see them stumbling in the street. We're part of what's going on. We manifest in the world with others. Yet, Dzogchen indicates that the basic presence which we are is a quality of being unaffected by our sense of being an individual. Our individuality is a manifestation, a quality of energy. It is not the ground of our being. So it's not that you have to choose one or the other, that I'm caught up in all this reactivity running hither and thither, driven by events, or that I'm sitting very calm in the meditation and nothing gets to me, That would be a form of duality, of setting this against that. Rather, the spaciousness of our awareness is unchanging. Like the mirror, it shows whatever is occurring, free of the turbulence of gaining and losing. This awareness is the ground or basis of all that is manifesting at the moment, including what we take to be ourselves. We're all aware of this room. We see everything here. Some people we might know, and others we don't. Some people look more interesting to us because we have the particularity of our gaze. The world we inhabit is always uniquely our world. This is both the infinite aloneness of presence and the ceaseless interplay and communication of all phenomena. Our sense of loneliness arises from disregarding this non-duality. Within the field of experience, inseparable from the ever-open ground, we manifest in unfolding particular forms. You might be interested in what I'm talking about just now, or not. You might be full of memories. You might be thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. All kinds of experience can arise for us, but they all arise only within the wider field of experience, inseparable from emptiness. When we, as it were, get lost, it's through forgetfulness of the field, although we are always within it. For example, say you're sitting here and you suddenly think, oh, tomorrow is Monday, I've got to do this, and this, and this, and you get really wound into the pattern they generate. In that moment, you're not here, although you have not gone anywhere else. Through the practice, we open to the non-polarized possibility of attending to the arising thought of Monday within the open presence, which is always here and now. When caught up in the duality of identification, it is as if we suddenly go into this blinkered, caught-upness. I'm here, where am I? We're then stuck in a pulsation of open and closed, like the tide going in and out. Rather, the actuality of true openness is always here. The dynamic field of experience is always here. And our way of manifesting is always changing. Thus, movement and stillness are inseparable. They're not two different things with an either-or structure. All the movement of our existence is within stillness. Basically, we're at peace, at and in the ground of our being. With this, we are fully in connection with other people in the turbulence of interaction, and yet at peace. When we directly taste that these two are not in opposition, life gets less tiring, and no one can steal your peace. Even when you, as a person, feel disturbed and upset, this is an experience arising within the calm, open sky of awareness, your own presence. If you have a relative peace, if you think, Sunday, a day to myself, and then suddenly the kids want to come home or whatever, it will be, oh no, why can't I just have a little time for me? In this way, the peace that I have is based on the exclusion of disturbance and difficulty. It is a very relative and vulnerable kind of peace, and it can always be undermined. Whereas, in Dzogchen, our simple practice is to rest directly in the openness of awareness, which receives whatever is happening without being conditioned. It doesn't have to protect itself because it's invulnerable. That doesn't mean that you run around without taking care, for our body is vulnerable. On the level of the person, many things can go wrong. Well, on the level of awareness, everything is perfect, just as it is. You can make mistakes at work and lose your job. This will change the structure of your life, the form of your identity. Yet awareness, the experiencer of both the old and new structuring, is unchanging, uncontaminated, fresh, naked, and hospitable. On the level of manifestation, you need to have precision. Being in the world with others is the practice of compassion, finely attuned and precise. This is inseparable from wisdom, which is to remain open to and with all changing patterns of movement. Teachings given at Bright Elm Centre, Brighton, UK, on the 2nd of December, 2012. Revised by James Lowe. From the book, The Open Door of Emptiness, a collection of public talks and teachings by James Lowe. Read by Wendy, September 2025.